Truce at the G20, but a rupture between the European Union and Switzerland. This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. As of this morning, the ability to trade Swiss stocks like Nestle, Roche and Novartis on European markets expires. Switzerland and the EU have failed to agree to one treaty to replace a series of bilateral trade agreements. David Oxley, senior Europe economist at Capital Economics, explains the impact.
The European Commission and the EU decided to no longer extend the equivalence regime. This equivalence regime allowed EU investment firms to deal directly on the Swiss stock market in Zurich itself. What's also come on today is the Switzerland's retaliation, and this forbids trading venues in the EU from trading in Swiss shares as of today. It was estimated by the Swiss government that trading volumes on the Swiss stock exchange could have fallen by up to 70-80%. So this could have been a big deal. Switzerland's retaliation should limit the damage, at least in the short term.
Why are the EU and Switzerland stuck at the moment on a wider treaty?
The current relations between Switzerland and the EU are governed by about 120 individual bilateral treaties. The Swiss and the EU decided 4.5 years ago to replace with just one all-encompassing treaty framework. As of last November, the European Commission thought they'd reached agreement on this deal. But the Swiss government did not sign off on this. The Swiss government is worried about protecting Swiss wages, which are of course much higher in Switzerland than in the neighbouring countries.
David Oxley there. Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are higher after China and the US agreed to restart trade talks. The price of gold is down more than 1%. Now, the oil cartel OPEC opens a meeting in Vienna to consider extending production cuts to prop up the price of crude oil. The BBC's Victoria Craig has more.
OPEC's 14 member nations appear set to agree to continue curbing oil production at least until the end of the year. That's aimed at boosting prices amid fears of weaker global crude demand. Ongoing U.S.-China trade tensions and soaring production from American shale companies have helped push prices lower. This year, the U.S., which is not an OPEC member and has not participated in supply cuts, overtook Russia and Saudi Arabia as the world's biggest oil producer. Over the weekend, Russia, which is also not an OPEC member, agreed with Saudi Arabia to extend existing output cuts of 1.2 million barrels a day until at least December. And today, Iran's oil minister told reporters he also supports a prolonged production cut. Iran has seen exports plunge after renewed U.S. sanctions on Tehran over its nuclear program. Global oil prices are up more than 2.5% today, ahead of an official decision from OPEC on future production. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Now, at the G20 over the weekend, President Trump softened his stance on U.S. companies selling to Huawei. Huawei is currently banned from supplying American 5G networks due to fears of a security risk because of its ties to the Chinese government. Now, on Friday, I spoke to Marcus Weldon, the chief technical officer of Nokia, a Huawei rival. He was frank about the risks to the U.K. as it weighs up using Huawei components.
What do I think about the security concerns? I think they're valid, to be honest. And I think there are various reports beginning to come out that the firmware from Huawei and Chinese vendors has more security vulnerabilities than other vendors. There's a report I was just reading today on their enterprise networking equipment. And think of that as the equipment that goes into data centers and businesses and industrials. And that report suggested the vulnerabilities in their equipment relative to Juniper and Arista, who were the other vendors analyzed in that report, were significantly higher in Huawei, and in fact, quite worrying vulnerabilities that were there and had been there for 10 or 15 years, meaning they were using 10 or 15-year-old software that was known to be insecure and also were not knowingly correcting that, meaning they were continuing to use that software and maybe even obfuscating it, meaning they were pretending that it was the secure version of the software by using wrappers that made it look secure when it wasn't the secure version. So I think the UK is right to worry about this, particularly as we look at building networks for industrials and enterprises and infrastructure. So it's cities and factories and airports and transportation infrastructure.
Marcus Weldon there. Well, Nokia distanced itself from his comments, saying Nokia is focused on the integrity of its own products and services and does not have its own assessment of any potential vulnerabilities associated with its competitors. Huawei also responded, saying, "We win new business by fair competition and on the basis of our technology and customers' focus, not by denigrating our competitors." It went on to say the best way to improve cybersecurity and ensure network resilience is for all vendors to agree to independent testing of their equipment. statement and source code, just as we have done in the UK. Now, the BBC's technology correspondent, Rory Catlin-Jones, explains why Mr. Weldon's comments became so controversial.
What's interesting here is that he has said in public what the company and other companies in the field might say in private, that they do suspect that Huawei has been sloppy. I mean, obviously, they're talking their own game. They want to say our equipment is more secure than theirs. But they would like to get that message out. But at the highest level of the company, they didn't want to do that in public.
Now, the issue of security is crucial right now. You've still got the UK debating whether or not to let Huawei into their own 5G infrastructure. President Trump seemed to have made a bit of a U-turn, at least on US tech companies selling to Huawei. Do you think we'll see any more change in the US policy against Huawei and 5G?
The US has been putting this huge pressure on other countries, saying this company is not secure, you shouldn't be using it. And I think this has given countries like the UK, which has been debating this issue, a bit of a free pass. They can now say, well, it appears that this was more of a trade issue than a security issue. Yes, they have suspicions about Huawei, countries like the UK, but also they would quite like to use its equipment because, frankly, it's probably ahead of some of their rivals and it's priced attractively.
That's Rory Catlin-Jones, and I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.